The new series of A Quiet Word With has just kicked off, in which our next guest, Tony Martin, talks shop with filmmakers, actors and comedians without an audience on the quiet.
Hmm.
Tony Martin, thank you for being here.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me here.
Just we'll keep it quiet.
Yeah, very quiet. Yeah. Just very ABC.
Just yeah.
I've been having that doing shows where you have to go on like FM breakfast shows and be really loud. And then you're getting in between about seven people, and then you go on the ABC and you've haven't changed.
You.
Oh no, and then it's yes, we're Carol Whitelock on afternoons on 891 Adelaide. And we've got Tony Martin with us. And I'm, yeah, it's great to be here.
Wrong radio voice.
I haven't made the gear change.
Is it hard to get, I mean, you interview comedians and actors, these people yes. who are notoriously on. Is it hard to get them to take it down to be thoughtful?
When there's no audience there, they're quite different. Like, there's Ross Noble, just with, like, three other people in the room. You'll see in that episode, he starts off with a bit of
Stage,
mucking around
yeah.
with the boom, grabbing the boom microphone. And then when there's no one there, he just becomes very quiet and
He's
thoughtful.
He's a lovely guy.
He's great.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, I was interested to find out about that because it does certainly, when you're not performing in front of a crowd, I guess it's just like they must get sort of, oh, okay, here we go.
Well, it's interesting watching Ross Noble trying to describe maybe for the first time ever what he actually does. You sort
right.
of see that, oh, it's just jicking a bulk, really. Can't find the words.
Yeah.
To describe it. But he was, you know, he lost his house in the bushfires. That's quite well known.
Yes.
But he talks for the first time about his DVD dungeon, which he had under his house, filled with not just DVDs, but comedy rarities all melted,
gone.
And that's quite, because I think you have to wait a certain amount of time after a bushfire tragedy to talk about objects being
I think
lost
so, before
in the
you just
fire.
Sound like, yeah.
Because it just sounds
so insensitive. You're still alive, right, but you lost your DVD as well.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But enough time has passed that those can finally be catalogued.
Yeah.
Are comedians good at talking about craft? Or is it something that they don't ever have to think about?
People don't like to talk. Inevitably, in the show, at some point, 20 minutes in, someone will go, by the way, I never talk about this. Because it's that they all worry that they're sounding like, I think almost every, because we don't show all of it, we film for about 50 minutes and cut it down, but I always find myself cutting out a bit where the person worries that they're sounding too much like they're on James Lipton.
Inside the Actors Studio.
What's your favourite swear word?
Yeah, exactly. I saw one of those on the plane when we were going over to England. There was one with Mickey Rourke and it was 50 minutes long. And I reckon Mickey Rourke only spoke for 10 of those 50 minutes.
Really?
It was mostly just Lipton. Lipton with just a really high stack of cards.
How's your, like, what's the research? Like, do you do a lot of research or do you just hope that that sort of, you know, that information's going to come to you?
I just spent ages choosing the people so that they're people I already know about.
Well, that's interesting, though, that's how you've done it, is rather than somebody just say, look, we've got a whole bunch of people we want to crowbar into some sort of idea.
You know what it's like on the radio. Some days you have people you really like. Then you have days people you're sort of indifferent about and you have to bung it on slightly.
Yeah.
And then there's people you've never heard of and you just look them up on Wikipedia the night before. But so this is an attempt to get just the first category.
Yeah.
I guess the idea of it being A Quiet Word With, it's someone that you want to have a conversation with, and the idea that if you put some intelligent people with an ability to talk in a room together, it should happen.
It's a real gamble because, like, 26 minutes without even having a clip or a photo, like, it has to work.
Yeah.
You're like, this is a show that just cannot not work.
Yeah.
So you spend ages choosing them. And then the problem is originally it was only going to be six over a year because I figured in a year, six people will come to town who I can have a conversation with. Because hardly anyone, do you guys notice? Hardly anyone comes here now. Because now that there's not even Rove for them to go on.
No, that's right.
You don't get many people. The Will Ferrells and the Steve Carells.
Eddie Bolt's getting a show now.
That's gone nuts on Twitter. Have you been contributing?
Oh, I haven't contributed yet because I'm still in shock. Thank God Network 10's giving him an avenue to speak his views.
Well, on Twitter it's hashtag Bolt's new show. And it's hard to think
Most
of one.
Most of them are not things that we could really mention right
now.
Oh,
there's some good, I like what someone put up, Steve Price is Right.
That was a nice one.
Why, what, have you mentioned any this morning?
No.
I Dream of Eugenics. someone put it, you know, everybody loves racism. I was sitting there going, I couldn't think of one that hadn't been, I think one go, yeah, and then you type it into search and you get, and 28 They've people already have already, done. You know. All I put up Villa Fornication. That was the only one I could think of.
How long did that take?
Hours of workshopped.
When I just wanted to ask, like, have you had those moments where, and I know that we've had them, where we have where we have people come in and they're so used to that media junket that it's sort of they don't quite know how to behave without, like, not having an audience is one thing, but then that secondary thing where it's not like we're just waiting for them to give us something genuine.
right.
So do you have those moments where, well, and you feel it like turn? Like Steve Coogan is our best example.
Oh, really?
In the past, of him coming in and sort of being a little bit dubious of the setup, and here we go, it's another radio interview, and really having that moment with him where he was into it and he didn't want to go.
Right. Yeah, well, what? But that's because he's probably done 17 other interviews.
That's what I mean. Like, are you getting those at the same
time? Well, there's half and half, because we went to England and just filmed all these Alan Davies, Rob Brydon, Ross Noble, Richard E. Grant, Catherine Tate. They didn't have anything to promote.
Yep.
So it was quite weird. It was like they'd actually, Rob Brydon actually said, I haven't been interviewed for 2 years. And he couldn't even quite remember how to be interviewed.
Yeah.
And then you get, like, we've done Lily Tomlin and Carrie Fisher, and they're on tour, so they're used to. And all you need for that is, you just need to crack it by having one thing they haven't been asked before.
Yep.
That's all you need. With Carrie Fisher, I remember she was like, she came in and her first thing she said was, I've just done 61 of these in a row. Good luck finding something new. It was like quite a challenge.
A challenge, yeah.
But I noticed that nobody had asked her about The Time Guardian, which is, do you know The Time Guardian with Tom Berlinson? It's like an $8 million. This is a lot of money in the mid-'80s, an $8 million science fiction disaster that starred Tom Berlinson and Carrie Fisher. And I think Dean Stockwell came to Australia. It's this huge budget Aussie sci-fi movie that nobody saw and nobody remembers. And I brought that up, and she, like, walked for about a minute, almost, for about a minute, she couldn't remember making it. She's going, hey, when did I?
Oh, that's so Carrie.
And then she's going, oh, I was on lithium when we did that.
Yeah, right.
So you just need one little shiv to stick in.
To stick in, and they're on board.
Of differentness.
Tony, do you get a greater appreciation for their art, or is it sometimes disappointing to find out how they do it?
Well, there's just, I mean, not because I'm a brilliant interview, but just because they don't know who I am, most of these people, but they know, oh, he's written some sketches, he's done a little bit of stand-up. So it's not, they're a bit different from, I don't know, if David Rain was to say, where do you get your ideas from?
Yeah, right.
They know that I'm not there to stitch them up and that I'm not going to ask too dumb a question.
Yeah.
They know that I'm going to know kind of what they mean. So there's a little bit of that. Having worked, done what they've done to a less successful extent means that they'll paper over the fact that I'll get to a point where I can't even remember what I'm talking about.
So the show is on ABC One, 9:30 on Saturdays.